last week we spoke a lot about the theoretical aspects of Schites Begadim. It is clear in the Gemara many, many places in Masechta Shabbos that one is not permitted to squeeze out articles of clothing or similar kinds of articles on Shabbos HaYantif. What exactly the prohibition is not 100% clear. There seems to be two different ideas that are rolling around. So Rabbi Natan is quoted by Tosfos as saying, there are two halachos, there are actually two different kinds of Schita that apply to Begadim. Sometimes Schites Begadim is part of the Malach of Kibbutz, of Libun, of washing, of cleaning the garment. And sometimes the Malach of Schites Begadim falls under the category of Dosh, of like threshing, the same way you're not allowed to squeeze out fruit from juice from a fruit. How do you know which is which? So Rabbi Natan gives us basically the guidelines are that if it's water, which is a cleansing agent, so it's going to make the garment cleaner, then we could discuss the Malach of Kibbutz. If it's other kinds of juices, other kinds of oils or wine, things of that nature, that are not going to clean the garments, then it's clearly not a malach of kibbutz. On the other hand, Rabbi Natan says that if you want to know whether we're dealing with a malach of disha, so then it's a whole different question you have to ask yourself. You have to ask yourself is, do you want the result of what you're squeezing out? Are you interested in using the juice that's coming out? Because generally the malach of disha is such that you squeeze out a juice, you got in order to drink the juice. If you don't, so that may either be a malach asher tzrich legufa, something that's done for a different purpose entirely, or as many Rishonim say, it may not even be a malach altogether. It may be what's called a holich le'ibud. It's something that we spoke of way, way back when we talked about the malachas of cholev, milking cows and women extracting milk, all those sugyas which involve the notion of le'ibud. So it's not always 100% clear which malach you're dealing with. To make matters even more complicated, not everybody agrees to all Rabbeinu Tam's details, but some Rishonim will say that you can have kibbutz with other liquids as well, particularly with wine. We already saw this last week. The Rambam says, kibbutz behind the hushel, so the Torah itself uses the phrase kibbutz vis-a-vis wine. And then the either piece on the other side, you have other Rishonim who deny Rabbeinu Tam's theory about Hoch Libud, who say you can have disha even if you don't want the resulting juice. So you name it, you have across the spectrum different possibilities. That was a theoretical part of the shiur. Now, practically, the ma'isa, when all the dust settles, you're not allowed to squeeze out anything and everything that has something in that's absorbed into it. So it doesn't really make a difference whether we're talking water, wine, oil, and we're not even sure which malacha we're going to call it. Not too much of an afkamina today. We're not giving anybody a surah for chiyuv skil anyway, so it doesn't concern us as much. Practically, so the bottom line is that any kind of squeezing of liquids out of garments is going to raise a potential problem. So we'll try to give just a few examples, some that appear in the Gemara and some of the more applications than Bizman Hazeh, just to highlight how these Isurim, how these Malachas play out for us practically. So one of the sugyas that appears at the end of Masechta Shabbos is the Gemara talks about using a svog, using a sponge on Shabbos, and the Gemara is very clear that it's also that the squeezing out of the svog is a problem. Now, again, which malacha is it? It's also not 100% clear. Deraisa, derabanan, also not 100% clear. But the bottom line is the using of the svog, using of the sponge kind of material is clearly prohibited. Nevertheless, the Gemara throws a curveball at us as a kula. The Gemara says that, but if the svog has a base achiza, then everything's okay. If it has a handle to it, you're not holding the sponge proper, you're holding a handle that's connected to the sponge, so then it's permissible. The question is, why should that be okay? What in the world is that based on? So the Rambam understood that Gemara as follows. The Rambam says that the Gemara is not really talking about squeezing out a sponge intentionally. The Gemara is just talking about handling a sponge. So the very handling of a sponge may pose a problem because it will fall to the category of a psikresh that's going to squeeze. If you take a good wet, soaking, saturated sponge and you just simply pick it up and move it around, even if you don't actively apply pressure and squeeze it, it is going to squeeze out. Therefore, the Rambam writes, that's going to be a violation of a psikresh. Again, we spoke about this many, many times. When I do action A, and now there's a chance that action B may happen, if it's only a chance, that it's permissible. But if it's certain or close to certain that action B is going to happen, and action B is a malacha, that's a problem. Then we have further breakdown. Do I want action B? Do I not want action B? Do I care about action B? Those are the details in the sugya psikresha. But fundamentally, psikresha is a problem. So the Rambam is learning that the entire sugya about sponges is not talking about the guy who's literally trying to mamish extract the liquid from the sponge. He's just simply moving the sponge around a little bit, and he's maybe trying not to get the liquid out. So the Gemara draws a distinction and says that if it doesn't have a handle and you're touching the sponge itself, so then it's hard to believe, just by picking up sponge, hard to believe you're not going to squeeze out something. Something's going to come out. But if it has a handle and not pressuring on the sponge itself, so then it would be permissible. Then it's not a plagration, even if once in a while some of the liquid squeezes out, that would be, we could hide behind Dov Shem Miskavim. So according to the Rambam, the handling of sponges will depend upon just how much of a segregation it is, but the actual squeezing, if you intend to squeeze out the sponge, there is nothing to discuss, says the Rambam. That's an absolute Issa Gomor. Again, I'm not sure which one it's also for, but it's definitely an Issa Gomor to actively use sponges to squeeze on Shabbos. Nevertheless, the Ravid has a startling comment on this Rambam. The Ravid says, no, that the Gemara should be understood kipshuto. The Gemara is not just talking about handling sponges, the Gemara is actually talking about using sponges, squeezing out sponges. And says the Ravid, and the Gemara means exactly what it says, that if the sponge has a handle, then it's okay to squeeze it out. Why in the world should it be okay to squeeze it out? Very, very strange halacha. So the Ravid gives you a mashal, which is hard to understand what the mashal is. The Ravid says that when you have a sponge that has a handle to it, so we view it as like a kli. It's not really a sponge, it's like a bottle. And if you have water inside a bottle, if you turn a cup upside down, turn a bottle upside down, you don't say, oh, the guy violated tzchita. That's ridiculous. And we don't view the water as being part of the bottle. It's not absorbed into the bottle. It's a separate entity. So too, when you have a sponge with a handle, somehow it's considered to be a separate entity. It's considered to be like a kli. And even though physically, chemically, maybe the water is absorbed inside, the halacha somehow views the water as a separate entity. It's like no worse than pouring out a bottle. Very, very hard to understand what that ravid is all about. The pashas are dvarmas, we don't really accept it. It's hard to follow something that we don't really understand. The pashim shot is like the Rambam, that even though the Gemara is a little bit dochum, the Gemara sounds like it's talking about using sponges normally, but no, according to the Rambam's shot, at least it fits into our model of Shabbos. The ravid is the bichidish. Nevertheless, even though the ravid is a bichidish, we sometimes fall back on this ravid, but see if other things as well. So we're not going to forget the ravid totally, but we're going to put it a little bit on the back burner just for a second. There is another example that the Gemara talks about in terms of schita, something that we mentioned in passing last week. The Gemara talks about the issue of schita b'seyar, whether a hair-like material is subject to schita altogether. Schita is usually associated with garments. What about a hair kind of a material? The question is it really absorbed in altogether? If the liquid is not absorbed into the hair, then this is obviously not going to be a problem of schita. So we mentioned last week, the context of the discussion is that the person who's trying to help the woman who's in labor, so he has to transport oil, and there's no Eruv, so the halacha is that rather than carrying the oil in the normal way, you should carry the oil in your hair. So you must just pour some oil on your head, and carry it, transport it, and then when you get to the labor and delivery room, so squeeze out. So again, we're not commenting on the medical, hygienic angles of this story. Just we've told the halacha, so the Gemara says that's an eitzah to do. The Gemara says, really, that's an eitzah? It's not a problem of schita. So the Gemara discusses, yes, schita, nay, schita. So it's not 100% clear what the Maskaras of Gemara is. The general consensus is that the Gemara seems to be concluding that there is some kind of a problem with the Rabbanon of Schita B'Seyah. But although Min HaTorah, this can't really be called Schita because it doesn't really, it's not really absorbed, but it gives off the impression of absorbed, and therefore hair kind of material would be a potential problem, or be it only the Rabbanon of Schita. Because of this issue of Schita Seyah, that's at least a problem on the level of the Rabbanon, this has created a whole series of shilas in terms of different kind of brush-like materials. I want to squeeze out a brush or something. So is that a problem of schita or not? So again, in that Torah, probably not, because the brush, the bristles on the brush, are probably not really bolay anything. They're not really absorbing anything, so it's not a garment. On the other hand, it's called like a hairy kind of a material, so maybe it should be a problem on the level of the Rabbanon. Again, we're not talking about brushing hair on comb. That was 2 weeks ago. That was the geyser issue. I'm just talking about when you have a wet brush kind of a material, is that a problem to apply pressure? Would that pose a problem? So some of the more common applications of this are the toothbrushes and the pot brushes. So we'll try to quickly talk about both of them. So Yadua before summer, there was a major, major machlokes, the Gedolei HaPoskim, about using toothbrushes on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The shaila brushing one's teeth on Shabbos and Yom Tov touches on multiple potential malachas. You have, from one extreme to another, you have some poskim who said it was also for 5 different reasons, and other poskim who say that none of the reasons are true, and it's not the het gomor. Then you had others who are in between. So you name your sheet, you have across the spectrum what the take on brushing teeth is. Depending on what potential malacha you think it will result on whether you think you could use a toothbrush or not use a toothbrush, whether you could use toothpaste or not use toothpaste. Use both, use neither, whatever. Then again, it's a different combination of different shailas. The Rosh and Abram, the two great poskim who were arguing about the permissibility of brushing teeth on Shabbos in a general statement, were Rav Moshe and the Rav. The Rav Moshe was very machmir on brushing teeth on Shabbos, The Rav was very making on Rosh Hashanah Shabbos. There is a humorous give or take that is recorded, Rav Shechter has recorded one of his svarim, that took place when somebody approached the Rav about what his opinion was about Rosh Hashanah Shabbos. So the person presented to the Rav, they wanted to know what the Rav thought about it, because Moshe had written a shuvah where he thought that it was a problem, or Moshe thought that it was a problem. In the Marech, when you, it's a Malach, we'll get to it later on, when you smooth the surface, the original malacha involved the smoothing of the animal skins and Parshas Truma. When you prepare the animal skins, you have to scrape them off and smooth them off. So that's the malacha of smoothing off the surface on Shabbos. So they present it to the Rav. They said, Rav Moshe says in the Shuvah that brushing teeth is a problem of the machik, of smoothing off the surface. So the Rav misunderstood what the Talmud was saying. He thought that the Talmud meant, he was quoting Rav Moshe saying, the Rav hadn't seen the Shuvah, which had just come out. I don't know whether it was even in print yet. It was just about Pefer Rav Moshe at the time. So the Rav thought that the Talmud was a point that Moshe had said, it's like smoothing the surface of the tooth. But every time you brush it to the tooth, so then it's smoothing off, it's scraping away at some of the tooth. So the Rav responded to the Talmud by saying that if Moshe is right, that every time you brush your teeth, it scrapes away some of the tooth. If you brush your teeth for a few weeks, you should have no teeth left. So he said, so clearly it's not happening. Clearly it's not true. I mean, I don't want to comment on the dental. We have a lot of dentists in the shul. I don't want to comment on anything. So that was the Rav's response. So then the Talmud came back and said, no, you misunderstood what Moshe said. Moshe didn't say that it was a problem of scraping off the tooth. Moshe thought it was a problem of the toothpaste, that the smoothing of the surface of the toothpaste is the problem. You take a glob of toothpaste and you smooth it over nice, that's the shiloh of the marech. So the Rav said, no, if that's what Moshe meant, that's also mutter. Because there's no marech, and something that's going to be spit out in a second later. Marech means when you make some kind of a permanent kind of a surface, when you just rub some toothpaste around your teeth, and mush it around a little bit and spit it into the sink. So that's bechal, not marech. So we weren't sure what Moshe said, but whatever he said, Rav said wasn't right. And that was the argument that was going back and forth. So that was the primary machlokes in Moshe and Rav about the use of toothpaste. Then there were secondary issues as well in terms of using toothbrushes. So if using toothbrushes, well, you have a whole other shaylah. So there was one issue, some poskim were ma'orer. Moshe also talks about this, ma'orer, the issue of using a toothbrush, that maybe it's a problem of chovel, because if a person brushes their teeth, maybe there's a segregation that's going to bleed. So the dentist will respond, depends how careful you are with your gums. If you take good care of your gums, then you probably won't bleed when you brush your teeth. If you don't take such good care of your gums, then there is a segregation, you're going to bleed. So that each person has to know themselves whether they bleed or not. And there was another issue with the toothbrush, and that's our primary issue. That was the issue of schita. Maybe there's a problem of schita on the bristles of the toothbrush. So somehow, you're not allowed to brush your teeth because the bristles of the toothbrush are giving off the water there. They're pressing down, and you're being soaking the water out of the toothbrush, and that's a problem. Others responded, no, this is not even seyer. This is better than seyer. But the seyer of the Gemara, the seyer of a hair, is more of a bliya. It looks a little bit more like schita. Whereas these are separate, distinct bristles. And there's nothing, the water gets trapped in between them. Nothing gets absorbed. Go experiment yourself and get absorbed into the bristles of the toothbrush. And therefore, maybe there's not even a problem with the rabban.
The handle also.
Some wanted to say that even though we're not 100% sure about the bristle story, but maybe we could always bring the raiva back to life. But the tzir of the raiva sheet that we can remake again. Some would say, but we didn't even understand what the raiva meant. The raiva is still rishon. So the tzir of the raiva, so there's some more make that you can use a toothbrush. Because first of all, we're not even sure that there were bleas all together. It didn't slow the bleas. It didn't slow there's any problem in the rabbanon at all. So then you can rely on the shittas raiva. Then there was a further shaila about imkar askra. If you already mounted the toothpaste, and you already mounted the brush, you already finished brushing your teeth, you're allowed to wash your toothbrush off after you're done brushing. So if you're brushing your teeth before you go to sleep for a night, and you're going to use it again Shabbos morning, that's okay. But let's say it's the last toothbrushing for the day, and now it's a Shabbat Achana. So I'm going to wash off my toothbrush in order to prepare for that night. So is that a problem with Achana night? So I was at the shiur, it was back over 30 years ago, and the Gizlo of Rivadar, Rabbi Rul was giving a shiur, and a big fight, not a little fight, but a figure fight broke out between two dentists and shul as to what the answer was. So one of the dentists starts screaming out and saying, what do you mean if you don't brew, you don't wash off your toothbrush after you finish, it's going to collect bacteria, and it's going to cause you problems when you brush your teeth later, it's a whole kilkul, it's a whole hefzik, you mops in the toothbrush, you mops in your mouth, it's going to cause sky-high dental bill, I'll give you a whole riot act about what a terrible thing it is, and therefore it's not a chadam. And the other dentist says, what are you talking about? Says, well, how you devour me? I don't know, nonsense. You have bacteria mites for 2 hours, and the toothbrush is going to happen to you. Any dentist here? No. Okay.
Why would that be any different than, let's say, washing the dishes?
Oh, so washing the dishes is the problem. In this, it really bothers you. Unless you say, unless the guy told me, I can't go daf mincha and shul. I just woke off my nap, and I just cannot go to mincha knowing that I left my dirty toothbrush in the sink.
Mius is not necessary.
Because your wife's going to be mius. Your wife's going to have to see the dirty toothbrush because she's going to throw out with the toothbrush. So I don't know. Okay, that would be a tzorah chayav. Any input for the technique? Again, this is 30, maybe dentist. Maybe the research has shown more. Any ideas on this? Who knows? Any idea? Who knows? Maybe. Okay, speak. Okay. We're still not sure what the Matthias of the Barb is. So anyway, these are the different array of different opinions. But the part that's relevant for us right now is the Schita part. Can you really say there's a problem of Schita under these circumstances or not? The similar kind of a shayla applies for the pot brushes. People don't want to use sponges, rightfully so, on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So they have these pot brushes, and the pot brushes, many of them are made for Shabbos. They even say on them, Shabbos Kodesh on them. So the question is, can you use them? As we spoke about, the Hatmana warmer. Some of them should say Chilul Shabbos, some of them say Kodesh Shabbos, whatever it is. So can you use these pot brushes or not? So again, it's the same kind of a story. Do we really think there's a problem with Shechita? Minat Torah, there's no Shechita in any stuff. It's no worse than Seir. Is this really included in the Issa Derabon of Shechita to Seir? Maybe yeah, maybe not. Hard to tell. And even if it is, maybe you always have the Raya to fall back on. So over the years, I've heard different psalchim from different people about this thing. So I tell people, those who want to be Mekel, those who want to rely on the Raivid, but see if the fact that the whole thing is Derabon anyway, and they're relying on the Raivid, but see if the fact that it could be that there is no bleas and any of this stuff, but not even with the Rabbanan. Those who want to be Mekel have a right to be Mekel. Those who don't want to be Mekel have a right to be Machal. Also, those who want to use that, they have other things. They have like more up-to-date things in Eretz Yisrael. Like scrubby things or something. They have these things that are made. They're made like specific. They're made a special shop sponge. They have like a newer kind, a newer version of them that I think that have been more up the ante a little bit in terms of less of a bleed problem. So some people like to prefer to use those. So whatever, they're different yeshivish. Okay, of course the most controversial issue of shechita, in case you haven't realized, we have to talk about it at some point. And that's baby wipes. Are those a problem of shechita and Shabbos altogether? So baby wipes could potentially be a very serious problem for the following reason. But unlike some of the other things that we're talking about, that what comes out of a baby wipe is what you want. It means I want the book that comes out of baby, because that's what cleans the baby. So I'm being sochet something for the purpose, if you think about it, I'm being sochet something for the purpose of extracting that liquid that was absorbed inside the wipe, maybe, and it's coming out, and I want it, I use it. To make that even worse with the baby wipes, it's also gedule karka. There is a machlekes in Rishonim where the malach of disha is limited only to things that grow on the ground. Well, the answer is that aloe vera that comes out does grow on the ground. So a lot of the goop that's inside the baby wipe is actually gedule karka. So one could argue that may be a very, very serious problem of schitas begodim, schit mishum disha. It's probably unlikely that I'm trying to wash. My goal of the baby wipe is not to wash the wipe. That's not the goal. The goal is to wash the baby. So it's probably not a problem of kibbutz so much, but it may be a serious problem of shechita mishum disha. So yesh v'yesh. There's an array, again, across the spectrum in terms of what you think about this topic. And Lefiani's diet, it all boils down to a basic mitzvah. It's really just the mechanics of what exactly is going on inside. What is the relationship between the juice and the baby wipe? Is it really absorbed inside the baby wipe, like a garment that's wet, or is it more surface or not? So if it's surface, then the answer is okay, then just liquid on the surface. That's not bleed, that's not shechita. But if it is absorbed inside, then it should be a very serious problem. So the HVH, there are some posts who will outright mock that they use the baby wipes in Shabbos. There are others who are concerned, maybe chashash with their ices, use your baby wipes. So again, when people ask me this question, so I usually respond that the minhag in the Sobolovsky home is to be Mekel. I didn't say which gavra in the Sobolovsky home is Mekel. I said there are people with the last name, married last names of Sobolovsky, who now have who have following their practice. They're possible Mekel. Not nobody's real big players in Sakhalach today are Mekel, but not everyone's so convinced. So I remember when, I think it was when Zeb was born, if I'm not mistaken, so they had just come out with the Hamish spray. So some guy at New Square trying to market the Hamish baby spray. So basically what it was is, you sprayed it onto the baby and then you wiped it with a tissue, which is significantly less of a problem of shechita. So I remember I was so excited about it because I bought like 5 bottles of them. They're still sitting upstairs. Happens his birthday, he just turned 18. Okay, my wife used them once, I think, and they're great. They're great on Shabbos because they don't work. So. All right.
Alcohol swab for an injection. Same thing.
It's the same kind of thing, yeah. So if a person has to put on alcohol or something, so what I recommend on Shabbos is just pouring it on. Just take out the bottle and pour it out all on it. Just let it rubble and go run all over the place. And that's less of a problem. Tissue may be less of a problem. You should try not to use cotton balls and swabs and that kind of stuff on Shabbos. Okay. Good. So that's pretty much, we'll sum up this in terms of the schita part of the story. Let's move on now to the next part of this malacha. We're still in the malacha of kibbutz and libun, but move on to a little bit of a different dimension of this malacha. Up until now, everything we've been talking about has been assuming there's a liquid involved in kibbutz. Either that you're applying liquid, or you're soaking liquid, or you're squeezing out a liquid. But is it even possible to have malacha of kibbutz when there's no liquid whatsoever? So this seems to be a little bit of a contradiction between two different halachas. There is a sugya at the end of Masechet Shabbos where the Gemara talks about menar taliso, a person who shakes out his garment, shakes out his talis, and the Gemara uses the very, very strong lashon, menar taliso b'Shabbos is chayav. If a person shakes off his garment on Shabbos, he's going to be chayav. What does it mean, shakes off his garment? He has a piece of chalaf on his garment, that's not menar taliso. So it's clearly some kind of, I shouldn't say clearly, some Rishonim say it's a different halacha. But the pashas in the sugya is it's a halacha of kibbutz. And what exactly are you shaking off? So Rashi writes, "Benar talis mina avak shalav," that it has dust on it. It has things that are quasi absorbed into the beged. It's not just a piece of challah sitting on top of the beged. It's something that's a little bit absorbed into the fabric of the beged. And you give it a good brush. You give it a good bang with your hat brush, or you're shaking it out. Stam benar talis would be chayev, even though there is no water whatsoever. Now the Gemara qualifies this, we'll see hopefully as we go on, that not all begadim are subject to this issur of menar taliso, but sometimes there is an issur, potential issur minat Torah, just simply to brush off dust on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So Rabbi Kivegi on this spot, on this Rashi, has a kasha. Rabbi Kivegi says the Rashi is taking a big stand. Rashi is assuming that there's real malacha, the rice of kibbutz, without any liquid whatsoever. And that doesn't seem to be true. There seem to be other sources, but Rashi seems to say in other places where that statement is not true. So we'll have to come back to that in a moment. But Rashi does say this explicitly, the menar taliso of Chazal, that being chayev, is talking about just merely shaking off dust, no liquid whatsoever. So Tosfos was so bothered with this kasha, and Tosfos quotes another opinion from Mishnah. It's not clear who they are quoting. The way we have the Tosfos printed by us, it says Rabbi Chanan, it says Reish Ches, which is Rashi Tevis Rabbi Chanan. So others point out that it was a Tosfos of the printer. It's supposed to be a really Reish Tov for Rabbi Tam. Rabbi Chanan did not say this. It's quoted in the name of Rabbi Tam, but in Shulchan Aruch, it's already been quoted for the last 800 years as Rabbi Chanan or Sheet, even though probably wasn't. It was just a mistake of a. If it would have been the same Torah, it would have been possible. A Tov that looks like a Ches, but in Tosfos, it snuck through the printer. So somebody said this. Tosfos says that. That can't be. That's not the pshat. So what does the menar taliso mean? Menar taliso means that there's some kind of a liquid, there's some kind of droppings on it. Tosfos describes that the person walked outside and a little bit of dew fell on them, the morning dew, the towel. So it's moist, it's liquid, it's something. And I was trying to shake it off and cleaning it up a little bit by doing that. So that would be a problem. But if it's absolutely dry and there's dust on a garment, that cannot possibly be in the Seder Ayis of Kibbutz. How do we pass in the loch on this? And the Shulchan Aruch quotes Tosfos, but the Ramah quotes Rashi. The Ramah says that Yesh Lahachmer like Rashi, that one should try to be Choshesh Rashi Rashi, not to remove dust from one's garment on Shabbos. So even though the Gemara puts the brakes on this, the Gemara says that this only makes sense when you have a brand new jet black garment where the dust is really, really detracting from the garment. But you have other things that are not so new anyway, it's already old, it's not black, and it's not something that bothers you all that much, and I'm not put on to that, that's not really considered to be kibbutz. So the later post can point out that most of our garments that we wear in Shabbos, where we run into problems with this, they're usually black or dark blue or something like that. And even though they're not brand new, but the things that we are makbid on, a guy gets dust all over his hat. His hat down somewhere gets all dusty. Or he gets a dust all over his pants, his jacket, things like that. So these things do bother us. So we do tend to, during the week, to rub off the extra dust that we have it on a dark, nice suit. If you have a little dust on your white shirts, and you don't even know it's there, but if you have a dust on your dark clothing, so people do get upset about it, they do tend to dust it off. So we should be chayshesh, and therefore we follow this chumrah of the Ramah. The Ramah says the Shabbat deraisa. One should be careful not to dust off one's clothing on Shabbos and Yom Tov. I've told over the humor story several times. So I've told it over another time. New members of the shul every couple of years after chas we're over the stories as well. So this particular chumrah, the sheet of Rashi is quoted by the Ramah. So this was very, very, very much responsible for my wife and myself getting married. How did this? This was our introduction. This particular shaila. How was this? Way before we met. So there was a young man by the name of Avram Willig. So many of you may know him. He's making a bar mitzvah for the Shabbos, in case it was in Mafet Shemesh the Shabbos. So Avram Willig, one of our Willig sons. So for many, many years, I used to learn with him in Chavrusa, with the years in Rosh HaKolel. He was a couple of years younger than me. I was his older Rebacher for many, many years. We still usually learn Shabbos the afternoon. He was each Shabbos quickly, then we learn usually till Ma'ariv. So those who know Rosh HaKolel, so it's not known for its cleanliness on the floors, and there's an awful lot of dust there, and Avram, at the time he was a little kid, he was 8, 9 years old, and he would sometimes get a little bit, agitated in the middle of learning, and his shtick was, he would take his yarmulke, and he would, throw it down, he would get, upset about something in the middle of learning. So every once in a while, he would pick it up, and it was filthy, it was full of dust all over the place. So I taught him this, he was maybe a little boy, I thumbed it up, and not a lot of dust at all. Why not? He said, because Rashi says in Shabbos, Menar Taliso, he's probably the only kid before Bar Mitzvah who knew the din of Menar Taliso, Mena Avach, according to Rashi's also. So we knew the whole Pismen, every week we had the same joke, because Rashi says it's also, the most chosh is a Shabbat Deraisa, and that was an ongoing joke for years and years and years about his Yarmulke on the floor. Now you have to fast forward the clock about 10 years or so. So Avraham was learning in Keren Biavna, and there was another Talmud in Keren Biavna, his name was Roni Samet. In case you don't know, I made a name for the newcomers of Salmon. So my wife's brother was learning Kerbiyah at the same time, and Avram and Roni became friendly, and they spent the Shabbos funds together. And it happened to be my wife was doing some internship work or something, and so all the time she was there also, and the three of them were there for Shabbos, but I didn't know who she was before we had met. And the three of them were there together for Shabbos, and somebody at the table, they dropped something onto the floor, and it got all dusty. And the person was about to start shaking off the dust. So Avram Willig said, no, you're not allowed to dust it off on Shabbos. So everybody said, why not? I said, what do you mean, why not? Because Rashi says in Shabbos, you're not Talisa Mina Avakasayev, and there are more quotes in the Shabbos. So everyone was blown away, how this little kid know this? So they asked him, how do you know this? So he said, what do you mean? Sabo taught it to me. They used to call me. He said, Rebbe. So they, who was that? So they said, Tzvi Savlovsky. So my wife had already heard my name. Someone had already thrown out my name to her. So it was on her radar screen. So her ears perked up when she heard the. She said, really? Well, what else does he say? So I said, oh, no, you should hear Rebbe. That was the first of the chumras. That was the first thing. It's a nice enigma that we made it to the point that we made it to. So that was the first Sakhalach heard my name was Inal Lada with this Rashi in the Sefer Shabbos. Okay, good. So I remember once, one year I was davening in Riverdale and Tells, used to when I was a Bach, we used to daven in Tells and Riverdale, the Yom Narayim all the time. So they used to give out things like Kurim, give out right before Kurim, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So one year they gave out bags like they just changed now in New York, everything, the brown bags, no more plastic bags anymore. So I went to the store the other day and they refused to give me a shopping bag. I said, it's not much, it's like Zayr up to March 1st, they ran out of shopping bags. So they used to give out in yeshiva, they would give out the brown paper bags from shopping, and at the end, after most of that, collect all the bags. But the problem was those bags were very dusty. So all of a sudden, everyone would fall curtain, and everyone had to fall from their knees. So I remember I was watching guys, they were kids, they were 15, 16 year old yeshiva, they didn't know this then, so they were shaking away their pants. I was on Yom Kippur, remember Yom Kippur by Musaf, everyone's bothering me, Yisum Beraisa, Yisum Bekarest. So after that, I went over to one of the rabbis, I said, maybe they should switch the bags, or someone should tell the Bachram that Ramos says we're supposed to be Machmer, that you're not really supposed to do that. Yeah, okay, they're like that. That was my contribution to the Davening, because I don't know what they did now. But anyway, back to our story. So Rashi says you're not supposed to do this, but again, Taisa says the whole thing is not true. The Shulchan says the whole thing is not true, but the Ramah is Chayshish for this Shittish Rashi. But the underlying issue with Rashi is that Rashi is accepting the notion of kibbutz without a liquid, which is a little bit startling. Why is that so startling? Because there's another sugya in the Sefer Shabbos that talks about if a person has some kind of stain on his garment. So the Gemara talks about the following distinction. The Gemara says what you're not supposed to do is you shouldn't just pluck away and just scrape away at the stain. But what you can do is you can go from the back, let's say, I dropped some chilent over here, so I shouldn't scrape away the chilent here. I should go from the back and kind of like, you know, do it a little bit. It's probably not going to do a very good job at it. You have to pop it around like that. So the Gemara says, that you're allowed to do. Why are you allowed to do Misach Tzachom Mibachutz? Why are you allowed to do that? So Rashi says, because there's no real derais here anyway, because you're not putting any liquid on. So it's just kibbutz d'rabbanan. So Chazal said, it's a kibbutz d'rabbanan. It's kibbutz d'rabbanan. You look like a mess anyway, right? We'll be making. So why is it kibbutz d'rabbanan? So Rashi says, the reason why it's not kibbutz d'rais is because there's no liquid. So that's where Kibbutz quote Rashi in a contradiction. He said, what do you mean? The lack of liquid, why does that make it only a kibbutz d'rabbanan? What's the difference between the case of the dust, but there's also no liquid, and Rashi calls it a real bona fide chayiv, and so this is deraisa, in contrast to a stain from a piece of chulent, that Rashi is saying, as long as there's no liquid, so the worst it is a derabon anyway. My eye, manishtad goes to Gemara. So next we're going to pick up what the difference of that those two cases are, and set the stage for the stage a little bit more as to how one does it without violating the law of precision.